The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 28 through 31. And this is Jesus who is speaking. So listen for the word of the Lord. What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, "Go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of the Lord.
I've got good friends here today. Thank you for coming. And Kim can verify that I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody else here today with this message. When I was a teenager, and I'm sure every one of you can remember when you were a teenager, and your parents started asking you to have more responsibilities around the house, I guarantee you gave that eye roll to your parents, right? Because you were involved in something else. You had something you'd rather be doing, right? Every single one of us has something we would rather be doing than going and doing something that our parents want us to do. And I can remember one very specific day when I had probably just turned 13, 12 or 13, so my son's age. And my father said, "I need you to go down to the pantry and get me some spaghetti sauce because we're out up here and I need to get dinner started." So I rolled my eyes, "Okay, Dad," and I went down and there was nothing there. So I just came back upstairs. And my dad put his hands on his hips and said, "Did you look hard enough? I want you to go back downstairs and don't come back up without the spaghetti sauce." So again, I rolled my eyes and went down the stairs. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I moved cans out of the way to see if maybe it was hiding back behind the cans or if maybe it had gotten stuck back behind the pasta. I looked everywhere in that pantry for that pasta sauce. And I knew if I went back upstairs without that pasta sauce, I was going to be in big trouble. Because any time my dad said, "If you don't come back up here without what I need, then you'll be in trouble. You'll be grounded or you'll have more chores to do." I knew he meant business. So I go back up with my tail between my legs and I go, "Dad, it's not down there. There's no sauce down there." And he said, "If I go down there and I find that spaghetti sauce, we're going to have a discussion, you and I." My dad is a betting man, and he only bets if he knows he can win. You could just ask my mom. She owes him like a million kisses. So he goes down, and I hear him puttering around down there, and I am terrified for my life. Not that I needed to be, because he's my father, but you know, when they put the fear in you, you know you're going to get it. So he comes back up the stairs, and he's got a very heavy tromp, so I'm like freaking out the whole time. And he gets to the top of the stairs, and he's got his hand behind his back, and he goes, "Young lady, we're going to have a discussion." And he reaches out with an empty hand and tickles me. I am thankful that my dad was humble enough to know when he was wrong and to accept the fact that I had given my all and had tried. When we look at our scripture for today, there's something very interesting about this scripture, because the scripture happens after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jesus has actually gone to the temple, and he's preaching and teaching there. And then he is questioned by the chief priests and the elders. And we all know that the chief priests and the elders kind of had it in for him because they didn't like what he was preaching and teaching. And there's a main reason they didn't like what he was preaching and teaching, and that was because they had the power in that time. They had power over their communities, and they'd been given that power, they felt, by God through their direct lineage from the house of Levi. So they wondered, who has given this person authority in the house of God, in the temple? Who has given this person authority? They wanted to know. So they asked him, who has given you this authority? And they challenged him. And Jesus, just before our passage, talks about John the Baptist and how they didn't accept what he had said, what he had told them, and taken it to heart. Instead, they had him imprisoned and executed. And then we get this little parable about the father and two sons. Now, before I go too far into this passage, I want to remind us that nowhere in the passage does Jesus condemn the second son. Because we have the first son who tells his father to his face, no, I'm not going to do this. But then he goes and does it. And then we have the second son who says, okay, I'll go do it. And then probably rolls his eyes after his father walks away and says, yeah, that's not going to happen. Because I guarantee you, every one of you have probably had that experience. One of those two experiences, if not both. The father loves both of his sons. But he's trying to teach something. You see, for those of you kids at home who may not know this, they didn't have that kind of the kind of stuff that we do back in Jesus' time. They didn't have extracurricular activities like swimming or sports or things like that. You played games with your friends in your local town, but you helped with the family business and the family farm. That was your responsibility, was to help out. And so for these two young men, there's something going on here between them and the father. You see, Jesus is trying to tell them that there are people who say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow what you're telling me to do. I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to go my own way. And then something changes in them. What was it that that first son saw? Did he see his father working really, really hard out in the fields? Or maybe he saw one of his friends who was working and he felt guilty. Or maybe he realized that one day he was going to be solely responsible for this space himself. But something happens, and he goes, and he does what he's told. And I can guarantee you that when he made that decision to go, his perspective was completely changed. He saw things through his father's eyes. He could see why the project needed to be done. He could see his role in that project. But what about the second son? Obviously, he knew he was loved and cared for and provided for. Maybe he was even afraid that if he said no, he'd be in trouble. But he just refuses to gain a new perspective and continues to live with his feeling of, well, I know better than my dad. Because I know we've all had that experience. We've all felt like we knew better, or our project was more important. Every single one of us. There's a storybook. It came out probably within the last 10, 15 years or so. I'm not going to spoil the whole book, but there's a scene in the book that I think is so important to this story. And the book is called The Shack. Has anybody read The Shack? Yeah. In the story, there's a man who goes through this incredibly traumatic experience, he and his family. And he begins to doubt himself and his faith. And he's always had a questionable faith to begin with. But he, in the midst of going through this trauma, he gets a letter from Papa. Now, in the story, Papa is very important because Papa is the name that his wife and children use when they are talking about God. And last Father's Day, we talked about the importance of the name Abba in the Lord's Prayer, where we talk about this intimacy with God. And so there's this intimacy of that name, Papa. Now, he thinks it's a big joke. Maybe one of his neighbors is playing on him. So he goes to the location in question. And here he begins a test of his faith unlike any other. Because he gets to meet God in all God's forms. Papa, in the story, at least at the beginning of the story when we first meet Papa, is Aunt Jemima. And she's got dinner waiting. And so they sit and they talk. But during his several days stay there, he also gets to talk to Jesus. And they get to walk on the water together, which is kind of fun. Who wouldn't want to do that with Jesus, right? Jesus also gets to talk to the Holy Spirit. But as part of this journey, this call back to God, the man, Mac is his name, Mac, gets to go and meet God in the form of wisdom. And so he approaches this cave, and inside is a throne. And wisdom, in the form of a woman, visual woman, sits on the throne. And she says, it's time for judgment. And he falls down on his knees and begs for forgiveness. And she says, we're not here to talk about your sins, although we could. You have been forgiven. I forgive you. But we're going to talk about judgment. Because you have someone that you cannot forgive. And it is at this moment that Mac lashes out in this tirade of all the hateful things that are going on in the world. Why, oh why, isn't God doing anything about it? I'm sure that there are moments, and have been moments over the last few years, when we can point fingers at individuals or groups of people and say, why isn't God doing something about it? Right? Sound familiar? Okay, good. I'm seeing some head nods. Yes, we've all been there in the last couple of years. And I'm sure even now we could do that. And so wisdom says to him, all right, you want to play God? Here you go. And she invites him up to the throne. And she stands next to him and she says, okay, here you go. And she shows him an image of his two children. And she said, and he goes, she goes down next to each one of them and she says, well, your daughter doesn't do her homework. She backmouths you, she's rude to you. And your son, he can't seem to get his grades right either, and he's sneaking out on you, and you know it. Who are you going to get rid of? Who's got to die? Now that wakes Mac up real fast. Which of his children deserve to be punished? And he can't. She says, you have to. You have to. He says, I can't. She says, you have to. He says, take me instead. I'll die. I'll go. And she says, now you get it. Now you get it. Because God sent his only son to us. Jesus said, let me go. Because of God's amazing love for each one of us. Even those chief priests and elders, Jesus loved them. Even Judas, Jesus loved him. Over Holy Week this year, there was a beautiful group groupings of artwork that were posted on social media. If you're interested, you can go to my page and see it. I've posted it. But in the images that are there, each one is an image of Christ washing someone's feet. And there are so many beautiful pictures there. To start off with, they have a picture of Jesus washing Trump's feet and Jesus washing Biden's feet. And then there are pictures of Jesus washing a nurse's feet, a policeman's feet, a gay person's feet, a skateboarder's feet, an alcoholic's feet, a mother with her children's feet. There's even a beautiful picture of Jesus with a little child with all of his feet in the both of his feet in the water. There's also a beautiful picture of Jesus sitting with someone next to the water because they just can't put their feet in the water. It is so beautiful. How many of us have said, I know better than they do? I can guarantee you every single one of you in here has done that, because I've done that. I've said, I know better than they do. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know better than they do. We have to be willing to humble ourselves like Jesus did. Because right after this beautiful story where Jesus is talking to the chief priests and saying, hey, look, these people over here whom you're condemning, they already know what it's like in heaven. They have already gotten that perception because they've been able to see things from a different perspective. Right after he talks to them, to those chief priests and elders, he tells them the story of a father and a vineyard. And in this story, all of the workers have killed people that the father has sent out. And eventually the father says, well, if they won't listen to my managers, maybe they'll listen to my son. You see, Jesus knew what was coming. And he knew who his accused were. He knew those who were going to accuse him. They were the people staring at him at that very moment. And yet he still had love and compassion for them. As we go into the next week, into Father's Day, let us remember the love that God shines down on us every single day, the love like that father who loved both of his sons unconditionally. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for a new perspective. We pray, O God, that you would help us and continue to guide us so that we might see so many different perspectives that we can honestly have compassion for our neighbors. All this we ask in the name of your most precious and holy Son. Amen.